Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey DNVR listeners, we're excited to tell you about some game-changing coffee. Strava Craft is the CBD-enriched coffee that has really changed lives, and their reviews are incredible, so check them out. This CBD-infused coffee has taken away long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS. It has helped decrease anxiety, you name it. CBD is all natural and not psychoactive. The coffee is rich and tasty, and we couldn't recommend it more to our listeners. As Strava says, drink deeply, live fully. Check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use code DNVR20 at checkout. Plus, you can get it shipped straight to your door.
And Cole gets another good righty and another right by Cole. A left by Cole this time. Tipped in front by Mika Rantanen. He shoots and scores. Nathan MacKinnon. Call J.T. Comfer, 877 goes now. Gabriel Landeskog, collective hugs, 29 and 92. Save me by Grubauer. Move over, Picasso. This piece of art is by MacKinnon. My goodness gracious.
That's home in the morning. You should be
Hello.
Up cooking breakfast.
AJ out here spitting rhymes as we are live with the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by The Green Solution. Visit any one of their 17 Colorado locations today or check out online and visit your local TGS Express checkout to pick up. Plus, you can get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 or you can get it shipped straight to your door. I'm Nathan Rudolph. He's AJ Haefeli, the Rhyme Master. We're here talking Avs as they are 2-0 to start the season, picking up another win over the weekend over the much-hated Minnesota Wild. I'm going to admit it was a closer game than I wanted it to be, but you got the W.
I mean, anytime it's not 6-1,
Fair.
Something like that,
yeah.
It's you're like, missed opportunity.
Very much.
But a win is a win.
That's true.
And watching them lose is always glorious. It never gets old, man. They watching them lose and just watching as the Jumbotron pans to the guy in the Parise jersey as he walks out.
It's
so satisfying. Just get to step it, buddy.
It's so nice when the game-winning goal is basically a work of art as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the third goal, a little tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
It was nice,
the,
man.
The three-headed monster said, oh, right, we win games.
And well, and the funny part was they Minnesota did it to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You just let Ryan Graves shoot it. I mean, you could have either MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen take a shot. You could have Ryan Graves, and they defended Ryan Graves.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you did this to yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how great Zuccarello could really defend Graves, but I guess he knocked him over on the play. But
yeah.
It worked out for the Avs quite well. Overall,
he looked like Little Mac punching punching the bald bull. jumping up into him.
Graves' pants fell down and they both fell over.
That's right, yeah. it looked like he jumped up to hit him and then he just like latched onto him and then tackled him and then they both went down.
Fair.
And then the Avs scored a game-winning goal.
Right.
It was good fun for everyone.
It was like the easiest goal of Landy's career, too.
It was funny. After the game, he was like, oh, I've been scoring those for years. They've been putting those on my stick my whole career. Too easy.
Hey, take it where you can get it. I think that ties him with Matt Duchene all time in an Avs jersey, right? So he's climbing the list.
For goals?
Yeah.
So. No, it was his 27th game-winning
goal
game of his career.
Or something. So he's picking up the stat lines. He's starting to get up there.
Yeah, he's accumulated. This is his 9th year.
Yeah.
Time fly or what?
I know. He's going to have played 11 years at the end of this deal.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now I feel old. I mean, we're in year 4 of Mikko Rantanen.
I know.
And it feels like yesterday that baby Bambi stepped onto the ice.
Couldn't even stand up on its skates, it feels like.
Right. Yeah. thus the Rambi.
Yeah, exactly. But now he's over that. He's the big moose now.
That's right. He's he's all grown up. And he won't stop scoring goals.
Yeah, I know. Who needs preseason? Who needs practice? Just show up and score 3 goals in 2 games. Well, I do want to kind of break down the game a little bit more, because the Avs kind of rode the roller coaster in this game. First 10 minutes was just absolutely lights out. They look like they could win the Stanley Cup if they play like that.
Yeah.
And then the momentum did seem to catch up to them. And this was a big, big problem for them last season, where when things went wrong, everything started to go wrong, and it takes them a while to right the ship.
Well, you know, it was eerily similar to the Calgary game, right? Where they get off to that hot start, and you're like, they could run these guys out of the building. And then they have an own goal to get the other team back into it. And then a super questionable Burakovsky penalty leads to a power play goal that ties the game.
Very true. It's,
you know, and I think
it was a weirdly reffed game. Like, I don't want to get too much into that. They were really weird.
Both of the games last week where it was just like, oh my gosh, are you ever going to let these guys play?
Right.
Because when they got solid 5v5 time, they were doing just fine.
Yeah. You take the Avs, if you look at their rosters on paper, 10 times out of 10 at 5-on-5 against Minnesota.
Of course. I mean, Minnesota just doesn't have anywhere near the horses to keep up.
Yeah. That's just the way it lines up, but you're right. It was really hard to find any flow to the game.
Yeah, and I imagine for the players that's tough too, because you're digging in, you're starting to get into it, and then, oh, you're on special teams again.
Yep.
Every couple of minutes, you're on special teams. And it was just really, frustrating to watch. I'm sure playing it was difficult to get into as well. You have to remember there are 2 NHL teams on the ice. It's always easy because we look at things from Colorado's side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that we remember that, you know, that there are 2 NHL teams out there. And Minnesota's not a bad team.
Certainly, I mean.
I think they're not necessarily a playoff team, but they're not going to be like, this is not going to be like a 65-point pushover.
And even then, it's the NHL. You play the games for a reason.
Right. And we see even the worst teams in the NHL win 30 games a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still have to go out there and do a job and win. And, you know, we always talk about putting together the 60-minute efforts and all of that. But it's really just what was different about the first 2 games, and the Minnesota game, I think, especially, was they handled the adversity just fine.
Yeah.
They didn't ever look like they were feeling sorry for themselves. You know, they got pushed back on.
Yep.
But it didn't stop them from doing anything. They didn't get out of their game. They didn't have any, like, major, like, emotional breakdown.
I mean, I would say they were struggling through parts of the second period.
Sure. I think they got pushed back on. You know, I think Minnesota dictated and did what they wanted to do. I don't know that that's a ding on Colorado. You're going to have to deal with that.
I think it was some of Colorado's own doing. They missed the net a lot. You were more than halfway through that second period and they had 3 shots on goal. then Minnesota got a couple of power plays, and all of a sudden shots were 8-3 at one point in the period.
Well, and that's, I mean, the penalties is...
Yeah.
Was problematic, and certainly we could have gone through all of those penalties and played real or fake.
Absolutely. There were some dicey ones at best. But
I mean, that Tyson Jost interference was embarrassing.
That was not a penalty.
I mean, you see those, how many times a game you see those stick fights on guys
right,
going constantly. To the center of the ice?
It happens every time.
Well, and through, you know, certainly no intention of his stick ended up in that skate of Dumba, and then they're like, oh, well, you can't do that.
And then Dumba falls and flips over and whacks Kadri.
He spins around and he slashes his hand.
Right.
So. And it's like, dude, like, do you have to be in control of your stick or not?
Exactly.
Like, make up your mind, because you just called one penalty, and then on the other one you were like, eh, we're good. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's all you can ever ask out of refereeing is for consistency. They're never going to be perfect.
You're not even asking for them to be competent. You're just saying, look, just be who you are. If you're Tim Peel, we know that you're going to not know what goaltender interference looks like. That's fine. Just do it to both teams. You know, in the case of Francois St. Laurent, you're talking about, look, you know that the guy doesn't know what penalties are. You know that every single game that he referees is an adventure in unique interpretations of the rule book. You understand that going in, but you just want him to uniquely interpret those rules the same way for both teams, and he's just such a moving target. It's like, it was like spinning a wheel. It was like playing The Price is Right with the guy. You have no idea what you're going to get on any given shift.
Well, Peel and St. Laurent are definitely two reasons that I drink. So it's time to take a second to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of BSN Denver. I have another one to display for you today, nicely for the camera. For those of you watching live, it's the Colorado Core. It's really a great beer. We have some here in the BS or the DNVR. Caught myself that time. Offices. It's billed as a crisp, semi-sweet apple blonde ale with a dry finish. It's kind of a cross between a beer and a cider. I don't know if you agree. You're drinking one over there, but
I would say that's fair. As a big cider fan, more than beer fan.
Yeah,
I would say it's like right down the middle of the road.
Well, and you're like, you're a big fan of their other fruity beers too, like the Strawberry Sky and stuff. So you're kind of the big expert
fan of
on it.
Big fan of fruity things
in general. Fair, definitely fair. But yeah, so I mean, really, if you're into the fruity beers, they have those. Breck also has plenty of other dark beers. I had their Autumn Ale the other day, and it's much closer to like a Guinness style of a very dark and heavy.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet, but I saw their 472 IPA as well is one I got to get my hands on. Getting the thumbs up from behind the camera here. I'm sure Kale's a IPA fan, but they have something for everyone, and we highly recommend them. If you get the chance, check out the Breckenridge event calendar over on thednvr.com. We have all of our events planned there, and we'll be drinking Breck brews at them. So RSVP, come out and have a few with us. All right. Back into the Avs chat here, this Minnesota game. I was very, very encouraged by what I saw from Grubauer.
Okay.
The two goals that were scored on him, never had a chance on either of them. Both were deflected.
Own goal and then
power play goal off of Parise.
Dumba, really?
Yeah.
The thing it
100% hit Parise right in the leg pads.
Oh, he didn't even get credit for it?
Yeah, they haven't changed it yet.
I mean, I'm not giving a guy credit when a puck hits him in the leg. You didn't do anything, dude. You stood there.
Fair, but it definitely hit him.
It did? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was just a...
No, it hit him, and even if it didn't, he was fully screening Grubauer the whole way.
I mean, well, that's what Matt Dumba does, dude.
That's like, very
that's,
true.
That's the electric element he brings to that team that really nobody else does.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that he can do special stuff like that. So I was just giving Matt Dumba credit. I mean, it was nothing against Grubauer. He couldn't stop that.
Yeah.
He was credited.
They did change it to Parise. Cool.
I thought they would.
It certainly didn't happen during the game because they let us know those things. But the scorers were talking about it after the second period.
Yeah, no, when you sit there clipping the game and you go frame by frame to try and make sure you get the scoring correct, you're like, yep, that changed direction.
Yeah.
But look, other than that, he had some truly highlight reel saves in this one.
The big glove save on Donato was great. Multiple breakaway saves.
Yep. And then he picked up an assist too. So
what?
Yeah. Well, he should have. He made the save. It went right to Ryan Graves, and he dumped it into the empty net.
Oh, as of immediately after the game, that was still unassisted.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know if it still sits that way.
I'll be really disappointed if they don't give him an assist. That's
it'd be
so
fun.
Sad.
It'd be fun if they didn't, because then that would, or if they did give him the assist, because then that would mean only four guys did not get points,
including the goaltender.
In the two games, it would have been Timmins, Johnson, Kadri, and Jost.
Yep. That was. I mean, we can talk about that for a second too, and this will go into. Kind of going forward here, scary moment at the end of the second period. Kadri takes a Makar shot off of the ankle, goes down the tunnel. Donskoy gets run into at the blue line, clearly
that
in
was,
pain.
That was borderline.
Yeah.
The Donskoy hit.
Yeah.
Because he was clearly reaching for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is questionable stuff.
Dangerous too.
Yeah. That's the thing, man, is that the only result of that is a dangerous hit.
Yeah.
There's no alternate universe where, great hit, you sprung the puck and you did your job. Like, it's only a dangerous
right.
hit.
Bad parts are going to come together and bad
yeah.
things are going to happen.
And it was a good thing that Donskoy finished the game out, did not practice today. Kadri did not practice today. No Belmar.
Right. They're all having kind of maintenance days or whatever you want to call it. But
yeah.
And it sounds like they'll have tomorrow off as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, with a long week, why not?
Just right.
Give them the extra
you have
time.
4 days off. So,
yeah.
No need to push it at this point.
For sure. I liked everything about the Minnesota game, man, because I thought they closed well.
Yeah.
You know, the Minnesota's like big push did not happen until the last like 3 minutes. Otherwise, yeah. I thought that the period was, I mean, it was tilted towards the Avs' end, but it wasn't the turtle.
Right.
It wasn't them sitting back and just being like, okay, well, we're just going to try to roll lines, and you guys are going to cave us in for 10 minutes, and we're just going to hope to hang on. They were playing hockey.
I do wonder if a little bit of that is the lack of high-end talent on Minnesota, but you're right. The Avs didn't just cave, so.
I mean, anytime we can take a shot at Minnesota, I'm down.
Fair. Well. What I can tell you about Minnesota, if we're taking shots at them, as far as NHL relative, I think they're moving down a tax bracket or two.
Nice.
So,
nice.
In Colorado, there's a new alternative for addressing your tax needs. Symbio Tax and Administration provides their clients with honest and knowledgeable tax services from a licensed professional. You guys know we're all about taking care of our own, and George over at Symbio Tax is a proud DNVR subscriber and a diehard Avs fan. Whether you have a small business, you're looking to rent out a room in your house, or if you just need to get your tax return filed, go to a qualified professional to understand your tax requirements. Don't end up at one of those retail tax chains. Call Symbio Tax today for a free consultation at 720-365-4470 or visit them at symbiotax.com. That's symbiotax.com. All right, second segment here. I want to get into a little bit of the news today, as reported on Twitter by our own Evan Rowell. It sounds like...
Rowell.
It does sound like you have to growl it out
yeah.
a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Timmins, it sounds like, is going to be reassigned to the AHL after two games.
I don't get it.
I don't understand that either. If you're going to keep him, at least give him, you know, like nine, right?
I mean, if you're going to keep him and then you're going to talk it up about, oh, this was a unanimous decision and everybody
right.
was agreed that this was the way to go. And, like, if that's how you guys felt, two games undid all that?
Yeah, right. And admittedly, he struggled against Minnesota.
No doubt, man. Like, nobody's going to make the argument that Timmins played well.
For sure.
Like, you can look at his Corsi numbers and say, Timmins was great, but then you have to actually have watched that game. Him being primarily responsible for two clean breakaways against, that's problematic, man. Like, you can't do that.
Right.
Those are the highest of high danger chances you just gave up.
You don't have to give away very many Corsi events of if they're all breakaways
right.
to look bad.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's just that he didn't play very well, but, like, okay, you're gonna have to ride that out.
All right, you committed to some of those rookie mistakes by putting him on a lineup.
Right, when you put McCarr and Timmons and Graves into a lineup together, you understood what you were getting.
Yeah.
And you understood that Cale Makar had 10 games. Plus, he's a special talent that shouldn't be compared.
Very true.
You know, Ryan Graves had 26 games last year.
It's
like you've got to let some of these guys work through some of this stuff. And I understand you're trying to win games, but like, could you expect Connor Timmons to be there helping you?
Yeah.
And to have given him, and I get like two penalty filled games. And he got like one shift on the PK each game.
Right. He had pretty low minutes because of it.
Yeah. I just don't.
I
don't, with Connor Timmons, man, I don't understand why you would just give him two games.
Right. If you were going to do that, you could have started him in the AHL and called him up when you felt like he was ready.
You're anyway. Right. Especially like, If you think Cole's going to come back that quickly, just play your veterans.
Yeah.
You know, like if you felt like, hey, Timmons earned this in the preseason, he undid the entire preseason in two games.
Right. That doesn't add up at all.
Like it just seems.
Especially considering they won both games.
Right. And you can't even be like, oh, well, they're playing poorly.
Yeah.
You know, like because, again, like you look at the on paper, the on ice results when they're out there. Both Graves and Timmons had, you know, good numbers.
Yep.
And then, of course, you watch it and you're like, okay, Timmons made some serious mistakes. But he's going to.
Yeah. It's part of the process there for him. I am curious. It does sound like Cole is very close to coming back.
And if Cole's healthy, and he comes back, like, for me, like, that's different. But, like, if you call up a Rosen or a Connaughton.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, let's put, and that guy comes into the lineup ahead of him. Like, then what was the point?
Even, right.
And this is nothing against any of these dudes, but even Barb's in the lineup. It should have just been that way on opening night.
Yeah, why did you change it for two games?
Yeah, like, Timmons, I just don't understand how you can earn something in the preseason and then 3 days later unearn it.
Right.
Like, Sheldon Dry's got 2 months of a leash last year because of his preseason.
Yep. He did have a hot start, to be fair.
But he wasn't, it wasn't like he was lights out every single
exactly,
night.
Yeah.
And playing in a limited role, same thing. And this is the inconsistent way that they treat their players. I don't want to say treat them like they're like, oh, they've treated Connor Timmons so terribly. Joke of an organization. Like, not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just mean, like, it's an inconsistent way that they handle these situations, that they handle their young players and they balance some things out. You know, okay, yes, you have some defensive depth. That's fine. Then why not just have that be a thing at the start of the season?
Well,
what I don't understand is having him start the year here, talking him up and saying, oh, well, he's earned this and we think he's going to play big minutes for us. And then two games, he's gone.
That wasn't the case at all. And I hate to keep bringing it up, but he had not played a single professional game before opening night and had 18 months off, essentially, of hockey.
Yeah.
And you're going to jerk him around by starting him in the NHL for two games
and
then send him back to the AHL. It just doesn't add up.
It's just a weird, and like you could pull positives from it. Like,
sure.
Okay. He's gotten a taste of it. He understands what he needs to work on. You know, it's not like this is all bad. It's just sort of a strange message that you're sending, and it's a bizarre handling of a player who had done very, very, very well for you in that preseason. You know, which is supposed to be like a tryout period of time, and they treated it that way when he made the team. And then two games in, and you're like, well, we don't want to deal with the rookie mistakes.
Right. It's like, where's the disconnect that led you to this? It's, you should have known what was coming.
It's just a breakdown in logic, I think.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't track.
Yep.
And I feel like this is constantly an organization with competing ideals. They're trying to develop the young talent that they've accumulated, which is an impressive amount. I mean, you got to give them that. They've done a good job of building a solid base of young players. But now that you're in a window where you're trying to win, and not just saying, "Well, hey, we're just going to drop a bunch of kids in the NHL and however it plays out, it plays out." Now you're trying to win a cup, man. You're trying to win the Central Division. You're trying to get home ice for a first round of the playoffs. You still have to balance those two things out.
Yep.
And this is something we talked about at the beginning of the year, how we wanted to see how they would do it with a guy like Martin Kaut as the season went on.
Right.
We're two games into the season and now having this conversation again because they did make a bold call to keep Timmins and then play him.
And then immediately backed off it.
And right. And they were like, okay, well, we can gear that down. You know, they played Bowen Byram in almost every opportunity that they had in the preseason. They were begging that guy to win a job.
And he just didn't.
Right. And Timmins did.
Right, straight up.
And then after two NHL games, after 20 minutes on ice, they've decided...
not for them.
Yeah, let's back this down and we'll see how this goes. And it's in the name of Ryan Graves' love.
Yeah, it's...
And that's the other part of this that strikes me as kind of bizarre, is that all of a sudden now Bednar has a huge affinity for Ryan Graves.
And
looks at him as new Nemeth.
Which is weird, because... he was good against Minnesota, but he struggled himself in game one.
Right. And there were moments in game two. You know, I've pinned the breakaways on Timmins, but
Graves is the partner there.
Right. Well, and Graves pinched in the same time Timmins had also pinched in and was just getting back to the blue line.
Yep.
When Graves pinched in, that helped create one of those breakaways.
Right.
You know, and so you could easily put a small portion of that also on Graves. For a very, very questionable decision that did not go their way. And I think, you know, with Graves, I thought he was okay. Obviously, when you get the empty net goal at the end of the game there, you're like, oh, you're feeling a little better than you otherwise might have been. But I didn't think it was such a dominant performance. I didn't think it was such a good game. I thought it was a solid effort. But if I'm picking between him and Timmins to play next to Ian Cole, like, that's a lot of foot speed questions. Not that Timmins doesn't also have those, because we saw that being exposed pretty hard in those first couple games. Yeah. But it's also a style problem. Neither Cole nor Graves are going to give you much of anything on offense. And is it really going to be like a true just like shutdown pair? Is that just what you want to do? You want to get those guys out there and hope for block shots and shot suppression? Because neither one of them have the puck skills to drive any kind of offense.
Right.
You know, and so maybe that's where Zadorov comes in, where he has a little bit more of an offensive touch, but he's already got to be in the offensive zone to show it off. It's not going to be a zone exit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with the Cole, Graves, and Zadorov trio on your blue line, is that half of your blue line is going to have major zone exit and zone entry issues.
We saw it with Belmar at the end of the Minnesota game. Wins three faceoffs in a row. The Habs immediately ice all of them.
Right.
And it's like, oh, not this again.
Right.
So the puck control, even to just be able to dump it out safely without icing it.
Right. I mean, just to do the Barbario.
Right,
where he
exactly
flips it up into center ice. He flips it over everybody's head and has it land at center ice and, you know, all right, there's your clear without an icing.
Right. It's
it's not the slap shot rim around the board that is guaranteed to be icing every single time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can go ahead and end segment two there as I take another sip of my beer here. And if you want to get a beer like this delivered, well, Total Beverage has a fantastic deal for you. They're offering 30. That's right, 30. I can't stress it enough. 30% off for the DNVR fam. 30% off when you order a purchase of $25 or more. You can use code DNVR2019 online or on the Total Beverage app, which you can download today. As you may or may not know, Total Beverage delivers to the majority of the metro area, from Lakewood to Boulder and from Aurora to Brighton, and they have the lowest prices in the state. Plus, they now offer CBD products. That's right, from drinks to gummies, you can enjoy your CBD products on your next visit. Really, don't let this offer pass you by. 30% does not come around very often. Use it while you can. Order today. That's 30% on orders of $25 or more. And better yet, you don't have to leave the comfort of your own home because you can get it delivered. Cheers. All right, final segment here. I do want to touch on a little bit of that defensive side of things. Callie Rosen was sent down.
Batty.
Batty.
Total baddie.
Don't like him.
Oh, the worst.
2 points.
Bring him back.
For the Eagles over the weekend. Bringing him?
Bring him back.
Even though he's a baddie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, he was a baddie, and then he got 2 points, so bring him back.
Well, I mean, he was also -5, but...
Look, bring him back.
Okay. I mean, that's what I want. I think they should bring him back.
He won't play.
I know. It's just to be the guy who sits in the press box, but Rosen has a billion games experience anyway. He doesn't need to be in the AHL.
Well, I mean, this is the conversation we should have had a week ago.
Very true.
I mean
we kind of did have it a week ago.
When they chose Timmins over Rosen, this is the exact conversation that took place.
Right.
Was, well, so, he doesn't have anything left to prove, et cetera, blah, 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 blah.
Is it just the delayed chain reaction effect for him now where that's
no,
where he ends
you
up,
know, or? if they activate Cole off IR, you don't do anything.
That's true.
You just swap
if Cole
Timmins
truly
for Cole.
Is ready, yeah.
Then you don't touch it because you've got to keep Wilson and Kamenev just chilling.
Yeah. we've talked about the Wilson situation as well because that kind of throws a wrench into things too, especially because Nichushkin looks great. He picked up an assist already.
Calm down. I thought he was a lot better in game
he
one.
He was.
In game two.
But he, in, if,
game two, he it was a nice play. He stepped in front of the pass, and then he threw it at the net, and it turned in. And, hey, he earned the assist, but I thought that might have been the last time I noticed him in the game. Like, that it was nowhere near as good as
sure, anyone. But if that's what he's going to bring as a baseline level.
Oh, yeah. I even put put his grade in there, and I said, if he does this every night, you're fine.
Right, exactly.
You're going to be totally happy with your fourth line.
Yeah, so that what I'm saying is if he can maintain that, things ain't getting any easier for Colin Wilson.
Well, is that where the Tyson Jost question comes in?
It's one that you're going to have pretty soon, at the very least.
I mean, Kadri hasn't produced, and...
Kadri looks great, though.
Yeah, but I thought Jost had a good first game. I mean, 4 shots on goal and 3 hits. He's played the kind of two-way game that you need to see him play. And then in game two, it's marred by 2 penalties that he takes.
Yeah.
One of which most all of us would agree was one of those unique interpretations that we would not agree with.
That's true.
He also drew 2 penalties.
I'm not saying he had a bad game, but if you're picking out the players that are potentially someone you could sit to get Colin Wilson in, is he at the bottom of the totem pole?
No, man. I mean, the totem pole doesn't exist right now because I think the team has played too well.
You say but they just sent Timmins away.
Okay, but you picked, like, the one guy. Like, the one that they sent away was, like, the one guy where you could be like, the weak link.
I don't disagree with that. I do think Timmins was... At least, certainly against Minnesota, was the worst game of anyone on the ice.
Yeah.
Which still wasn't that bad. But.
Right. I think I gave him like a C-.
Yeah, right.
Because it was like, look, like, again, you go and you look at what actually happened when he was on the ice. You know, the Avs only gave up 4 shots on goal with Connor Timmins on the ice.
Two of them just happened to be
breakaways, yeah. And that was the problem.
Right. And Grubauer bailed him out anyway, but
right, it led to nothing. It led to no goals against. So,
yeah, right.
And hey, he kind of made a sort of pinch on the Belmar goal.
He did keep the puck in, and
he skated forward, and then they moved the puck.
He disrupted it a bit, but yeah, it was really Nichushkin covering back for him.
Right, like Nichushkin made the play.
Yeah.
Timmins lost both the foot race and the puck battle, but I guess you could say that his presence might have caused
it. Yeah.
Like, I think you'd be stretching to turn that into a credit for Connor Timmins. There.
Maybe a little, but.
I think it was a good read, but he lost the foot race and the puck battle, and it was like, had that not gone that way, we would not be sitting here stretching like Stretch Armstrong to turn this into a Timmins positive.
Oh, man. Bust out the Fantastic Four here pretty soon.
No, don't do that. Fantastic Four is terrible.
You're correct there. They have yet to make a quality
Fantastic Four. I don't understand the obsession with someone as awful as Reed Richards. Like,
don't look at me.
Sue Storm's true superpower was putting up with Reed Richards. That was it.
All right.
It wasn't the fact that she could turn invisible and make cool force fields and bubbles and stuff. It was the fact that she put up with that dude. Comic book love is for real.
Oh, you're not wrong there. That's, again, We need to get this webcomic started.
Oh, dude.
We already have the Big Moose character.
Yeah, and we got Miko the Moose.
Yeah.
Gabe the Viking.
Gabe the Viking, and then I see.
I don't know what Nate is.
I always just picture McKinnon as McKinnon, awkwardly next to like a moose and a Viking.
See, I just picture him as a golden retriever.
There you go. Sold.
But I don't want it to be like the two like dudes, like you got Miko the Moose, and then like McKinnon is an actual golden retriever.
Yeah. That'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
An anamorphic golden retriever or something.
Dude.
We're getting a little into the weeds here, but...
Go back to the Animorphs days.
Oh, man. I've read, like, one of those books. Not gonna lie, I didn't even like them that much.
BRB turning into a dolphin and swimming away from this conversation.
What a lame one it would be to turn into a dolphin.
Dude.
I mean, I guess it'd be cooler if I didn't live in Colorado, but...
Like, the majority of them, it's like, I don't really want to be any of those guys. All I'm worried about is all the predators, and the food chain has drastically changed for me. Where I go from being at the top of it to being terrified of my place in it. Just the appeal of it.
Maybe not the best idea if you dig into it. The Avs PK.
Yeah, a natural transition.
It might not be the best idea right now.
As normal a segue as we'll ever have.
I'm trying to say the Avs PK is certainly not at the top of the food chain right now.
Oh, dude, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's... What I don't like about it is that they're daring teams to go with that Royal Road Pass,
right.
And teams are doing it, and they're doing it effectively.
Yep.
And when they're overcommitting to stopping the Royal Road, they're letting that guy from the point walk in.
Also very bad.
Right. And when that guy is Matt Dumba or Mark Giordano,
he's like, going to end you.
It doesn't matter. Like, you pick a dude. Like, teams are going to have their top guys there.
Yep.
You know, if somebody tried to defend Colorado that way, Nathan McKinnon would walk in by himself
and score.
You think an opposing team is going to be okay with that? And for whatever reason, I'm not saying Colorado's okay with it, but right now this is how they're playing it. This is how they're defending.
Yeah.
They're either exposing the Royal Road or they're giving up that guy, that point man, to just walk in by himself because they've overcommitted. Why is that the Sophie's choice you've backed yourself into?
It's one of the big standouts of PKs is maintaining your box. And you hold it together. Yes, you do run into some problems with the Royal Road there. You kind of have to stagger your two forwards to avoid that. But with the way the Avs are doing it, and this happened multiple times where they would collapse down,
mm-hmm.
The puck would get sent back out high, and neither of the forwards communicated at all. So they both charge the puck carrier, and then both wings are completely wide open.
Right.
And you just can't have it.
And that means both flanks are open whenever they decide to move the puck.
Yep.
And I don't like the way that they utilize their forwards.
Yeah.
Where they kind of have them on like a it's like they're chained.
Right.
To a certain part of the ice, and they can only skate around
that chain. It's like when you're 9 years old and you're learning how to play zone in basketball. That's right. Kind of what it's like.
Yeah. I didn't learn how to play basketball as a 9 year old, so.
Yeah, it's more like when you're like 5 or something. I don't know when people start playing basketball.
I didn't start playing organized basketball until I was like 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to find something when the concussions made me give up hockey. That's when I started playing basketball.
So you never like went down to the YMCA and they give you your like colored wristband and you have to match up with the same colored guy? Really?
No. I did not have to match up with colored guys.
Well, that sounds...
I don't like...
So you were doing okay in your basketball league then?
Yeah, I mean, you know. I played with some dudes who were pretty good back in the day.
A couple
guys that ended up playing like...
I never played with anyone good, and I was terrible, so...
They played like major...
High level.
Yeah, D1, like one of them played at Arizona.
Wow, yeah, that's
right.
Legit.
And I'm like...
And you got into this at 16.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I was short, so...
Well...
But I could shoot.
Yeah.
I was ahead of the game. I was all about shooting threes because I didn't want to get anywhere near inside with
didn't
all the
want
big
those
kids.
Big swats. Coming.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. This is a question I get asked a lot, based on who can dunk on the Avs. So I kind of want to just say, who do you think is the best basketball player on the Avs?
Zadorov, if only because I've asked him this before.
Really?
Yeah.
He just like Shaq down low, kind of, or what?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But he's got pretty good feet. I would imagine EJ might have that coordination too between the feet and the hands. I bet he would be pretty good.
That's interesting.
I wish they would be a little bit better together on the PK.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, I think those two are better together than when it's EJ and Graves. They still seem to be
And that's real an experience dicey, thing.
But, right, obviously.
Graves has to get that communication down. And it's funny that, like, last year, like, Ian Cole was the source of frustration for so many people.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I'm like, please come back.
We'd take it any day of the week.
Yeah. It's like, please come back and let me see if this is as bad as I remember or if this is a significant upgrade from rolling out Graves and Zadorov and EJ and just kind of hoping for the best. Because, like, you got Ian Cole for this.
Pretty much. He's paid to do the defensive side of the work.
Right. And if you can, like, get... If you can get a Cole-type guy out of Graves eventually...
Great.
You did a really good job of developing him.
Yeah.
But he's not there yet. And so... Again, we're going to see the development is going to lose out to the veteran.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because there are situations perhaps like this one where I do think it's the right decision. Just because I look at Graves and I don't see that much more upside there.
Yeah.
And part of that is age, part of that is just the type of player that he is, his foot speed, things like that.
Yeah, and the physical limitations we saw last year a lot. And, you know, when you see 26 games of him, you see him
Decent sample size.
Right, I mean, you're talking about a fourth of an NHL season. Yeah. So it's still small in that you're still projecting, but you still see, like, you've seen a lot of, he's been exposed in times, you see where he's struggled, you see other things.
Yeah.
So...
Right, and Cole's such a polarizing player. When you look at the underlying metrics, it's way better than people make it out to be. But
you know, last year if one of those underlying metrics was his PDO, where it was really really low.
Yeah, it was like, garbage.
It was really low. Like at one point, it was like below 900.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like 950 is a guy that's extremely unlucky.
It's supposed to even out to about an even one.
Right.
And
it was really, really low last year where it felt like every bad break, every mistake, everything went against him. And it's why he had the lowest on ice save percentage by far of the Avs D last year.
Yeah.
If that evens out, he looks a lot better.
All right. Avs are 2-0.
Yeah,
we went through a lot of negativity.
I mean,
there.
Like they're 2-0 and they look really good overall.
Yeah,
they look really good at 5v5.
It's the most encouraging part to me is, especially against Minnesota, it was like Avs clearly have way more to give, and they handled Minnesota.
Yeah, and and we're talking about the same problem that they had last year, where the second line just hasn't done anything.
Right, they have more production from their third line than their second.
And Matt Calvert, 2 points.
Yeah. Donskoy has 2 goals. Yeah. Playing on the third line, Confer has a goal.
Right.
So
it's just right now they're just trying to get it going.
It comes back to the weirdness of not keeping Donskoy with Kadri with such great chemistry, but that's a topic for another pod, I think.
Well, and it's also like you look at that and it's like, okay, well, you have a guy in Jost in a role that he's never really played because he hasn't really consistently gotten top 6 minutes as a forward, and he's still like... It's all even strength for him.
Right. The 5-on-5 play looks good with Kadri, though, I will say. I'm not worried about the points coming there.
I think Kadri looks really good.
Right.
And I think that second line has shown a lot of encouraging stuff so far.
Right.
I'm not at all worried about that line getting it going.
It's just a matter of it needs to start going.
It needs to show up on the score sheet. You can only talk process for so long, you know, and like the first 2 games, once you start to get into game 4, game 5, you're like, okay, you guys need to start to produce here.
Right. The time is now.
Yeah. They don't want to leave this homestand still looking for that first, first like substantial production.
Yeah.
You know, they could use a couple of goals. in the next couple games. And Boston's a great opponent to do that because they're going to devote so many of their top defensive
line. Yeah.
You know, top defensive guys to stopping McKinnon and co. That this is a great time to get going.
Yeah. Open season. And we know Kadri against Boston is always a thing. So,
yeah.
I'm excited for it. It's a couple days off before we get there, three even, but it will come. We'll finish up this homestand. Avs always seem to play Boston well early in the year. I'm excited for it. Guess we'll go ahead and wrap this live pod here. Thank you, everyone, for watching live. If you did, if not, AJ might call you a sucker for not watching live, but I still appreciate you.
What?
You called them suckers last time.
I love everybody.
Yeah, of course you do. We all know. All right. Well, as we head out, we appreciate you either way. Head on over to DNVR for a bunch more coverage from us. We just launched the new Big Moose Miko shirt. Highly recommend it. I think it looks fantastic.
It's adorable.
I know. It's. I'm telling you, we're one third of the way to the webcomic with that shirt. It's perfect.
Landy the Viking is going to be a fun one, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to... You could definitely do some fun cartoony stuff with that, too, I think. But that's going to do it. Pay some final bills before we get out of here, and then we'll say goodbye. In need of a top dog electrician? For over 35 years, Piper Electric has been the most fairly priced, dependable, and trustworthy electrical contract companies in the Denver community. If you call 303-646-6765, they'll give you the DNVR back-to-school hookup and save you 20% off your next service call. No job is too big or too small for Piper Electric. They work with the top professionalism and integrity in the biz, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial work. Don't forget, you have to call 303-646-6765 to receive 20% off your next service call, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.